We the church. We the church. Good morning, church. Buenos dias, Iglesia de Cristo, Christi. It's good to be here again this morning. I remember third grade having to memorize the Declaration of Independence. I don't know it by heart anymore. Okay, I just know it began with "We the people," and it's quite important. The Declaration defines in many ways who we are and as Americans, but today I want to talk about we the church. We the church. And I want to discuss something basic. Why do we go to church? Why do we go to church? Is church attendance important? Is church attendance important? I once heard this quote, and I'm sure you've heard this quote because I've told you it before, and you may have heard it outside of myself. And it goes like this. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. I'll say it again. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. This statement is actually true and false. This statement is actually true and false. It's true in the fact that walking into church doesn't magically make one saved. There are people who think that way, however. They think going to church somehow takes care of all their issues throughout the week. Now I'm in church, I can do what I want the rest of the week. Some kind of magical power that somehow this physical place has. No, to be saved, the Bible says, one hears and believes the gospel, repents from their old way of life, confesses Christ as Son of God, and is baptized in the name of Jesus. That is how we are saved. One isn't saved once they cross the threshold from outside and then unsaved when they walk out. But there are so many cultural ideas and jokes and anecdotes and traditions that are based upon this idea, that somehow one is okay simply because they walk in church. Or that walking into this physical threshold somehow puts them into a different place, some kind of different holy place in their mind. You've heard it said, don't lie in church. Well, don't lie not in church either, people, just for the record. Also, don't lie not in church. Or there's an expression, you're sweating more than a bad person in church. And many more like that, as if being in church somehow really puts them in a bad situation. People are bad outside of church too, for the record, and should be good people outside of church as well. No, our pure physical presence in this physical building means no more than you walking into a garage. And because this is true, garage and church in that sense are similar in that sense. However, in some ways, this quote is false. That going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in the garage makes you a car. In some ways, this quote is false if you are a Christian. If you are a Christian, going to church does mean you're being a Christian. It does maintain your Christianity. It is part of maintaining who you are as a Christian. So indeed, if you are a Christian, yeah, walking into church does make you a Christian. Because if you're not going to church, very soon you will find yourself not a Christian. Why is this? Because if you are a Christian, the Bible will say you are the church. You are the church. This isn't physical, this is spiritual. Going to church for a Christian is not just walking through a physical threshold. Going to church for a Christian is giving God his due worship because he is worthy. Going to church for a Christian is communion and fellowship with our saints, encouraging and helping each other with this walk. Going to church for a Christian is remembering Christ's death and resurrection, the very core of our faith that we had the opportunity to experience earlier just now. Going to church as a Christian, just now we spoke about it, is partaking of the Lord's Supper. something commanded by God to do when we come together. Going to church does make you a Christian if you are a Christian. So church attendance is absolutely important if you are a Christian. I'm making a lot of statements here. Let me back them up with the Word of God. Let me prove that as a Christian, we are not just going to church. We are the church. Acts 2, the book of Acts, chapter 2, 37 through 41. Acts chapter 2, 37 through 41. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. Peter gives the very first sermon in New Testament history and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept them exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Added to what? To the group of believers. Christianity, church, this movement, they were added to this faith, added to the body. When we talk about Jesus in relation to the church, well, he is called the head of the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Look at the logic that Paul uses here, Paul being a rather logical person. Colossians 1, chapter 15 describes where Christ fits in relation to us. He is our head. He is our, we're the body, he is our head. It says, Colossians 1, 15, he is the image of the invisible God, talking about Jesus Christ, the firstborn of all creation, the most important of all. Number one, for by him, through him, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will have first place in everything. Jesus is the head. The church is his body, and so we are the parts of Christ's body. See, and you begin to understand that this isn't just going to church. Church is really special. We are part of Christ's body, in fact. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. Again, 1 Corinthians 12, we should go there more often. I mean, I know it has verses that don't really apply to us today, but there are some very powerful verses talking about us here. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 20. "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are all different people, but in Christ, we're all one. We have more in common through Christ than we don't have in common." Verse 13, "For by one Spirit," we were all baptized by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired." We all have our own roles, very important roles in the body. If they were all one member, where would the body be? This is why we should not have a church for people just like us, because it was like a body of one member. Makes no sense. But now there are many members, but one body. Verse 27. "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." I love our variety. I love our differences. I love where we all come from. I love what we can contribute because we can all give and partake and make this body richer and richer by what we bring through Christ. I love this. Just like our own body, it works when we work together. We work. Another word for work in the Bible is service. We work together and we serve together. Going to church is the body in action, really. And I pray we could be part of that body. We are also acting as part of the body. This is why we come together for church service. Work that we do for God and not necessarily for each other, but number one, for God. This is not a place to be that we get entertained, but we glorify the Lord. We're not here for selfish reasons. We're here to serve the Lord, to serve each other. And we all work together. Imagine if my hand decided to work differently than the rest of my body. There'd be problems. I've heard Christians say, I've heard past tense Christians used to say, because they don't last very long if they talk this way, I've heard Christians try to say, I don't need church. And again, the people who I know who speak this way very rarely survive very long without church. So these people, I've heard it said, famous last words, I don't need to go to church. Famous last, or infamous, I would say, last words. And I hope, based upon the verses that we just read, that doesn't make any sense. Christianity is church. Church is Christianity. It's linked together irreparably. It must come together. Imagine me taking my arm off and tossing it away. I don't need my arm. Or taking my ribs out and putting them in the garbage. I don't need my heart. It's just as silly as a Christian who says, I don't need church. What is a leg without the rest of the body? What is a rib without the rest of the body? That's why every Christian I've ever known who quits going to church also quits being a Christian over time. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes we forget this, though. The body of Christ will survive even if parts are taken out. You see, that the parts won't survive, but the body of Christ will survive. Even medically speaking, you can replace and repair almost every body part. There are exceptions, obviously. Okay, but the body has been known to survive despite lacking many of its members. And so we know Christ can heal his own body if parts leave. But the body parts that leave the body will not survive. Legs don't exist by themselves without the body. Arms and anything else, they don't exist without the body. You got to link to the body, to the head. And so we see that church attendance, church service, and church fellowship. We say church attendance, it sounds so stale and so emotionless. It's also church service and church fellowship we're talking about here. All these things are 100% important to our Christianity. And so why don't Christians last very long if they don't meet with the church? Well, there's some very basic reasons I just gave earlier, spiritual reasons, but there are also things that happen if we quit going to church. There are also vulnerabilities I want to reveal if we choose to not be in church. If we don't want to serve with the church, if we don't want to fellowship with the church, there are dangers that we should be aware of. The Bible is very basic and very clear about this. Acts 20:28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Please be aware that Christ directly compares us to sheep, and that we are all together part of a flock. There are a lot of animals in this world that flock together. Even elephants do. But we're not called elephants. We're called sheep. And there's a level of vulnerability with sheep. There's a level of necessity that sheep need to survive. This is why we have shepherds, elders, and ultimately the great shepherd, Christ himself. Christ lets us know we have a built-in dependency to each other and to a shepherd. That's why we're called sheep. And if we think that somehow we are a special kind of sheep that does not need a flock, or does not need a shepherd, well, how many sheep last very long on their own without a flock? Not very long in the wild. Not very long in the place without the church. Because 1 Peter 5:8 says this, that outside this flock, there's someone called a lion out there who wants to devour us whenever he can get a chance. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says to us sheep, 1 Peter 5:8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I watch animal shows as often as possible, as you all know. I love animal shows. I never want to be in that environment. I'm not really an outdoorsman. But I love watching outdoor things. And you watch enough animal shows and you know that lions will target the prey that is separate from the flock or the herd. Lions are called the kings of the jungle, okay, but they don't want to fight really. They don't have to. They will gladly take the foolish animal that chooses one way or the other to be away from the flock. They're okay with that. The reputation is not harmed. But the question is, why does an animal separate from the flock? Human beings, we do it because of our own pride. Animals can also have other reasons that we can also have as well. Sometimes an animal will be injured and cannot keep up with the flock. Lions seek out those. In the animal kingdom, that will be due to a bad physical condition. Due to a bad physical condition, this physical lion will look for these sheep or any other animal and target them. That's the animal kingdom. In the kingdom of God, there's spiritual conditions that may lead people to be away from the flock, away from the church. But in the same fashion, our spiritual enemy will target us if we're in a bad spiritual situation and vulnerable away from the church. We can be vulnerable due to our own pride, our own stubbornness, our own depression, our own laziness. These are all the reasons I've heard people choose not to be in church, and many, many more. But I hear those are also reasons why we choose not to be with the body. When we're not doing well, when in reality, that's when we need to be in church, right? When we're having these issues in life. But so often in times, people say, I don't want to be in church because I'm not feeling good. Well, that's what the devil's going to attack and target. Some Christians think they don't need church because they are so strong. I can handle it. Please never think that we are so strong that we don't need church. A lion does not care about the perspective of a sheep who believes that they are strong. The lion doesn't matter. I mean, a lion will look at a sheep and, okay, you have your opinion, but you're still going to go down. I am stronger than you. And without Christ, the devil is stronger than us. This is why we need Christ. We cannot overcome and stop sinning. We cannot prevent ourselves from going to hell without Christ. The devil is stronger than we are. Here's a quote. It is commonly believed that lions attack mainly the sick, wounded, or old animals. This is not actually the case. And animals in their prime are often taken, with the notable exception of buffalo bulls in their prime or large male giraffes. Lions are opportunist hunters and, after a careful stalk, will take the closest animal, regardless of his age, sex, or condition. You know why? Because they're just stronger. Sure, they'll take a weaker one, but please don't think the strong ones are going to have a chance. So even if we think we are so strong, the Bible will say a couple of times, even the elect can be deceived. Please be aware and be sober of spirit. Nobody is strong enough to defend themselves against the devil all by themselves. We need each other, and we need the church, and we need to be in Jesus. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is why we have church. As you see, it's not just showing up, it is encouragement, stirring each other up, helping each other out, helping each other to do good works for Him. Meeting together is how we keep going as Christians, stirring each other up to do good things, encouraging each other. And this cannot happen, by the way, this cannot happen over email or text or phone. We have to meet together and be together. I read an article this past week how it's amazing how in this time of increased communication, we are more connected than ever before. We are seeing shocking levels of reported loneliness in our society. Because it turns out that this connection that we see in media and email and texts isn't real connection. We got to find real connection through the Lord, through fellowship, through the body. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after the supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We also come together to publicly proclaim. The word proclaim is announcement, is the show, is to, we do this together, the most important aspect of Christianity, that Christ died for us. How and why would we miss doing this if indeed Christ's death means so much for us? This is the opportunity to do so every Sunday, to proclaim, to celebrate, to remember the very reason why we have hope, the very reason why we have a future, the very reason why we can still smile in this fallen world. Let's not miss the opportunity to celebrate that every Sunday. The Lord's Supper is how we celebrate this, and this happens in church. I cannot properly detail all the reasons why church attendance is important. There's so many things in the Word of God, but we only have so much time. There are too many reasons, but I hope I've given the most important for us to understand and to consider, and perhaps be an encouragement to those to continue to be in church when a time when we come together. Once again, the process by which we enter into that threshold, the real threshold, spiritual threshold of being saved. Believe that Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again. Repent from an old way of life, confess him as the Son of God, be baptized, and you will be saved and brought into the body, and that is directly linked to being with the church. I pray those who have not yet done that may be encouraged to do so, and I pray that people who are struggling to be with the body may find reason and understand to be with us again. Having a new desire to serve, a new desire to fellowship, and to grow with us as Christians here at Central Church of Christ. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.